This morning, beloved church, we are going to be talking about a very important topic. And I want you guys to pay close attention to what will be said today. And God gives us blessings in our lives. God gives us ministries in our lives that He wants us to do. But a lot of the times, the enemy, understanding this, brings distractions into our lives to take us out of focus of what God wants us to do. So, we are going to go to Genesis chapter 25, verse 29 and on. And we read the word of the Lord, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said, "Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." This is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I am about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. First Church of God, I'm here to tell you this morning, we have blessings upon blessings from God. God gives us the opportunity to do ministry. God gives us the opportunity to go out into our community and to do the work of God. But here comes the devil, knowing that our ministry will impact the lives of many people. And he comes and he offers us things and tries to distract us from what God is doing in our lives. And this is the thing. The devil never comes to you with something that he doesn't think will grab your attention. Every time the devil distracts you, it's with something he knows that you like. It's with something he knows that perhaps you struggle with, or something that you might think you need. Our job, First Church of God, is to understand that we cannot let ourselves be distracted by the enemy. We cannot let ourselves be pushed to the side by what the devil wants, because if we stay on track, if we stay focused, if we understand what we have been called to do and what God demands from us, First Church of God, we will protect what God puts in our hands with our very lives. I'm going to tell you something. Since coming here to Hubston, and my wife is a witness to this, I have gotten so many offers to do so many different jobs. Some jobs even offering us six figures to go, moving expenses, everything, working only a certain amount of time a day. All of that sounds beautiful. I mean, I have 30 kids and counting, you know. I mean, who wouldn't want to make six figures with a big family? And there's times that I start planning. And I say, well, all right, this will be, I'll be making this much, I'll be doing this, I'll be doing that. And God tells me, hey, slow it down there, buddy. Like, where you think you're going? And every time that the devil plants that seed, it's like God gives like spidey senses to people here. How many of you guys are familiar with Spider-Man? You know, you got little spidey senses, and people understand, and they come up to me and they say, "Pastor, we love you, and you're not going anywhere." And I'm like, "All right, God, I get it." And they'll call me, they'll text me, whatever. Thursday, I was in small group, and Barb said, she knows I was going to go have a conversation with Mike, and she goes, well, I'm going to tell you this, Pastor, you better not let yourself get recruited to Indiana. You're not going anywhere. We're not going to let you go anywhere. And I told her, I said, don't worry. I said, trust me, this is home for us. But my point to you is, church, the devil's going to offer you things that might seem beautiful, might seem nice. But nothing that the devil offers you can be worth what God has given to you. If you understand your calling, you understand what God is calling you to do, church, nothing out there will replace the calling of God in your life. I'm going to tell you today, I look around, we're pretty packed today, right? Look around you. We have a decent crowd today, and it's just been upscaling every week. And I'm going to tell you something. There is no amount of money. There is not any position on this world that for me can replace what I see here today. The Word of God says everything shall pass, right? It doesn't say everything except your fortune, everything except your beauty, everything except your status. Everything shall pass. But what is the one thing that will never pass? It's the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something, church. If God has called you this morning, reach out to that calling of God in your life. If God is placing in your heart to do something, do not let anything or anybody stop you from working for God. The devil knows what you bring to the table. The devil knows that your story will impact somebody else. The devil understands that the day that you shake yourself off and you say, today is the day that I'm going to be 100% with God, and I'm going to be in there with God, and I'm going to empower myself with Jesus. The devil knows that you're going to liberate others with you. I'm going to tell you something, church. When I came to this place back in 2019, long time ago, right? I never imagined that I would be in the position that I am today. Never in a million years. And I told that to my wife. I said, hey, you know, God called us to be youth pastors over there. I said, but I don't want to be in charge of a church. I said, I don't want that responsibility. I don't want to do that. And we came here, and things were great. Then the whole bomb exploded. And when the bomb exploded, I told Jasmine, I definitely don't want to pastor First Church of God. But God had other plans. And I see why it was necessary for me to be here when God brought me here. I see why it was necessary for me to listen to the voice of God and come here. I see why it was necessary that God had to kick me out of law enforcement in Wisconsin, almost lose my life over there, for I can understand that God didn't want me there. He wanted me here. My dream was to be a cop since forever. You might say, well, you sure about that, Pastor? Yeah. I wanted to be a cop, and that was my thing. I went into Wisconsin. I was doing great. But God said, that's not what I have for you. And I was angry. I said, I'm finally where I want to be at, and I get hurt. I'm finally where I think I'm supposed to be at, and I get hurt. And my wife said, God is going to provide. And I said, yeah, that's easy for you to say. You know, it's not your dream that's being crushed. But I couldn't see the bigger picture. But God did. And Wisconsin was a distraction. My dreams were a distraction from the reality that God had for me. And now, fast forward 4 or 5 years, I see why it was important for me to be here. And I thank God that we are not letting ourselves get distracted by the enemy. And I'm going to tell you, church, when you understand that you owe your life to God, when you work for the Lord, it's not going to be a burden for you. When you understand that without God, you will not exist. When you get to come to church and you get to work for God, you're going to do it with a smile in your face. Because you understand that without God, we are nothing. I understood that a long time ago. I understood that without God, I wouldn't have had a wife. Without God, I wouldn't have had kids. Without God, I wouldn't have had a ministry. Without God, I wouldn't even be a likable person. Everything that I am, everything that I have become, I owe it to God. And when you understand that, church, you're going to walk a little different. When you understand that, church, you're going to love people a little different. When you understand that, you're going to be grateful to God because you understand that everything you are, you owe it to the Lord. I was reading this passage, and if you continue to read chapter 26, 27, all the way to, I believe, chapter 28, how Jacob wraps, because his brother was hairy, so he wraps animal fur on him for his dad to think that he's hairy. And that's how he steals his brother's birthright. And I'm going to tell you something. That's how the devil does to us. He comes in and he steals from us what God gave to us because we allow it to happen. We get so entangled in the offers that the devil has. I don't know how many of you own cats. I don't own cats, but I watch a lot of cat videos. And you see when you have like the little laser pointer, and you're going like this, and the cat is trying to catch the dot. It doesn't care what it's stepping on, where it's going through. It's just focused on the dot, right? How many of us have seen at least one of those videos? All right. So that's the devil with us. He had a little laser. He knows we're attracted to the red beam. He brings it over here. There we go. He brings it over here. There we go. And before we know it, our blessing is here. This is where God wants us. And we're following the beam. And we end up all the way over here. And by the time we realize how far we are from the blessing, we think it's too late to go back. And God tells you this morning, all you got to do is just turn around. Just turn around. Turn around and I will take care of the rest. Because think about it like this. If we're on God's journey, don't you think that God is going to make sure that we make it to our destination? If we are on the path of God, on the journey of God, in the will of God, don't you think that God will make sure that we make it to our destination? Don't you think that God will make sure that we're successful in the will of God? So why do you doubt? Why don't you trust the process? Why don't you trust what God has put in your life? I'll tell you this morning, when I was talking with the elders and we were finalizing everything to be here, something that Russ said stuck to me. And every day I think about those words, and he probably doesn't even remember this conversation. But he said, he goes, you need to make sure that God called you. He goes, we can say whatever we want, but the one that needs to make sure that God called him is you. We had this conversation maybe 2 weeks before the church voted me in. And I said, you know what? He's right. And the first thing I did was obviously call my dad. I said, Dad, I had an interesting conversation with Russ today. And I told him what Russ said. My dad goes, that's the same thing I've been telling you. He goes, but you listen to Russ and not to me. And we both started laughing on the phone. But it's true. If you are sure of your calling on God, who cares what other people say? If you're sure that God called you, who cares about what the books say? Who cares about what Facebook says? Who cares about what your neighbors say? Only care about what God says, because he's the only one that his opinion matters. I'm going to tell you this morning, church, it's been a power struggle between the spiritual world and the world of darkness. And ever since I stepped foot into the church, I understood that we are going through spiritual warfare. I understood that the devil tried to have his claws on the church. But glory be to God that we are a congregation that believes in prayer. We are a congregation that believes in humbling ourselves in front of the Lord, and allowing God to work and to move and to be manifested in everything that we do. And I'm going to tell you, there's great things on the way for First Church of God. There's amazing things on the way. Things that soon enough we'll be talking about. Things that we'll be announcing. Things that we'll be putting up on our Facebook page. And all I'm going to ask from you, church, trust the process. Trust the process, because our elders, we pray about every decision that we make. Whether it is a tough decision with an individual in the church, or whether it is administrative decisions, whether it is expansion, whatever it is, we pray to God and we ask direction from the Lord. And when we take our step, it's because we have received affirmation from God. So I ask you this morning, trust the process. You're going to see people preaching here that perhaps you never thought we're going to preach. Trust the process. God is doing something. And I'm going to tell you this morning, church, who am I to stop the plans of God? Who am I to say, God, I don't think that we should go in that direction? Who am I to tell God what to do with his people in his church? Because we need to understand, First Church of God belongs to God. It's not First Church of the Sanchez family, or First Church of Carlos, or Carl, as Melissa calls me. It's the First Church of God. And God will do with First Church of God whatever God pleases. So me as a pastor, as the leader of this church, I need to submit to what God wants, not to what anybody else in the congregation wants. And I'm going to tell you something else. Whether you like it or not, church, I will never, ever let myself be pressured by anybody here to make decisions based on your opinion, based on what you want. Every decision that we will make here will be God-centered, asking for direction from God, whether you get upset or not. And I'm going to tell you this as well. If you get mad because of what we do here, and you leave the church, that's on you. You walk out the door, God's going to bring 10 more people. You want to leave, I'm not going to stop you. You want to walk out the door because you're mad at things that are going on at church, that's between you and God. Don't get mad at me. You're mad at God. And I won't stop anybody. You tell me you're leaving, amen, God bless you, I wish you nothing but the best. We will not be bullied or pressured into making decisions here based on what you want and what you like. Because you're not the one that's going to have to answer to God. It's me. As the shepherd of this church, it is my responsibility. And what happens here, I have to answer to God for that. And I will never, ever make a decision here at church because I was bullied into it. I've never let myself be bullied before, and I'm not going to start today. Amen? That's a little bit of the Chicago side in me. But I thank the Lord, church, because we have a great church. We have a church that loves God, that puts the benefit and the wellness of the church first. And I thank the Lord that we have godly men on our elder board. I thank the Lord that the people that I get to work with fear God. and ask God for guidance and direction. It's important that you are in a church that puts God first. I've seen churches, man, where the pastor is just a simple employee. And the pastor has no input, no this, no that. The pastor, they give him what to do, what to say. That's not the case here in First Church of God. Thanks to the Lord, I have the liberty and the freedom to cast the Lord's vision on this place and to do what the Lord lets me know that it's right for our congregation. So, men and women that are here, prepare yourselves. Get into the Word. Fill yourselves up with the Word of God, because it is time for us to be used and get off of the chair. We're all just taking it all in. And God wants to use us all. And I'm going to tell you, church, when God begins to use people here, it is going to be an explosion in this place. People are being filled with the Spirit of God. People are being filled with the Word of God. And it's time to use the gifts that God has deposited in us. I'm going to tell you, church, I can't wait for those Sundays where I sit down and hear what God has placed in your heart. And it's coming. It's coming. I told you guys that other ministries will be born out of this church. And I believe it. We're going to have other pastors come out of this church. Other men and women that God has called will come out of this place. And I'm going to tell you, First Church of God, all we need to do is be ready. Accept the calling of God upon our lives. And be ready to fulfill the calling. He who he calls, he equips. So don't be afraid, because God is calling you. He's equipping you. And he is going to make sure that as long as you do everything that God called you to do, you'll be successful. The way that I lead in this place is as follows. I say, Lord, what direction do you want the church to go to? It's not what direction do I think the church should go to. What direction do you want the church to be in? Father God, what do you want to happen on Sunday? Lord, what do you want the church to look like a year from now? And glory be to God, we have found success. But it's because we do what God wants here. Not what I think is best, or what Jasmine tells me to do, or what the elders think is best. We do what God wants. And the leadership of this church, we're a team. We're a team, and there's no secrets between me and the elders. There's no barrier between us. We lead hand in hand. Every decision I want to make, I talk to my elders about it. Every decision that they think should be made in church, they talk to me about it. And that's where our success has been. We understand we're a team. Doesn't matter how big we get. If we get to 1,000 members, awesome. But we're a team. And we will lead as a team to make sure that the church reaches its full potential. And how many of us want to see that happen here? How many of us believe that we're on our way? I'm going to tell you, church, we weren't supposed to be here. According to man and statistics and all this other garbage that people care about more than the Word of God, we weren't supposed to be here. But God had other plans. And I thank the Lord, because we didn't let that scare us from the calling of God. We didn't cave in to the pressures of man and the pressures of other people and the pressures of other pastors that said, it's not going to work. You're not going to survive there. You're too different to pastor that church. You're not the pastor that they need. You're not the pastor that they're looking for. But guess what? I might not have been any of that. But I put myself in the hands of God, and He turned me into exactly what the church needed. I understand. I might be too young, but in the hands of God, I'm perfect. I might not have all the knowledge, but God will give it to me. They told Russ, it's a bad idea, right or wrong. They told him, it's not going to work. They said, I will be here to pick up the pieces that he was going to leave behind. And it's the first time that I publicly speak on this. I'm going to pick up the pieces that he leaves behind. Well, guess what? You got the dustpan in one hand and the broom in the other, and you're still there waiting. And I'm going to tell you this, the day that I walk away from the will of God, I won't be here another Sunday. And I understand that. And God will do with this congregation as He pleases, because His promise is not with me. Like I say, it's with you guys. And God will give the church exactly what it needs. And the day that that's not me, I pray to God that I do not last one more day here. Because, like I said before, it's not the Sanchez Show. This church belongs to God. And God will always be glorified. And God will remove what is not of Him in this church and will bring what this church needs. Amen?